All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Word Bros. My name is Bob France. Hello and welcome.
And I'm Kevin Cuff, and this is Word Bros Season 2.
Yes, Word Bros Season 2. We have a very very fun episode. We're talking to Pat Shand and Emily Pearson. They have a book out through Black Mask. It's coming out next month. It's called Snap, Hustle, Flash.
Yes, that's right.
Nice.
Yes, you got it.
I got it. So yeah, so we're going to talk to those dudes. Very excited to do that. Hopefully everyone had a fun and safe trip to NYCC.
And Baltimore Comic-Con.
Comic-Con as well, yes, because it was Baltimore. There's NYCC. I don't think there's anything big coming up for quite a while, which is nice. And we are just chugging away on Metal Shark Bro, doing some hot notes, doing some hot rewrites. I got to talk to you about that after the recording, about some rewrites. But yeah, man, things are taking place. It's really important.
And if you are in the Hampton Roads area... I'm going to plug myself right now.
Do it, dude. I will be.
I'm just saying. I'm going to give the warning first. I will be at Hampton Comic Con, booth, Artist Alley AA111.
Yeah, buddy.
So it's not hard to remember. 111. I'm going to have some books with me. I'm going to have the Not Forgotten anthology.
Nice.
I'm going to have the If anthology that I penned with my partner right over here.
Yes.
And there's going to be Oathbound, Full Moon Fredo, also a Word Bros product.
There you go.
Yeah, and I have some Elvis copies left. I found them in the bottom of my other comic box when I cleaned out my old car. Three copies of Elvis. So there's plenty of comic books to be had from yours truly if you want them. And they come free. If you want me to deface your book, I will do that.
So that's fun, man. I'm excited for you, man. That's fun. Doing a show is always a good time. That's Hampton Comic Con. That's October 21st and 22nd. Yes.
20th and 21st.
Is that this weekend?
It's next weekend.
Okay. All right, cool. That's awesome, Kevin. I'm really excited for you.
This Saturday, I'll be in Roanoke with Drew.
Nice. Okay. So, Kay, you're on tour. You're on a world tour with Bahamut, my man. That sounds fun. I'm really into that. That's great.
I'm going to have fun. I'm doing.
While you're plugging away having fun, I'll be at my keyboard rewriting this Metal Shark Bro, getting it hot to death and ready to rock. But enough about us. Let's get to our guests. We have Pat Shand and Emily Pearson on, who have a brand new book coming out, and they're going to tell us all about it next. You got the blue. See, I got the blue. I got the Yeti. I'm old school.
Hey. It's a beautiful thing, though.
It is. It works very well. I've been very happy with my blue product. I used to rock like a whole board. Like I had a board set up with like six microphones and shit. But like every time I wanted to record something, it took forever. And it was just kind of pointless. I love the USB. Just you're ready to roll.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, buddy. So we got Pat Shand and Emily Pearson here, and they are talking about their brand new book from Black Mask. It is called Snap, Hustle, and Flow. Did I get that right?
Close, yeah. It's Snap, Flash, Hustle.
Snap, Flash. I see the words hurt my brain sometimes. The words hurt my brain. So yeah, so congratulations, by the way. That's fantastic.
Thank you, yes.
Thank you.
Really now nice. Tell us, what is Snap, Flash, Hustle all about?
Take it away, Emily.
Right. Look at that. Dude, you're the writer, man. You're supposed to have this pitch memorized. You just hand it off.
You've said it like a couple times already. It's only fair. So Snap, Flash, Hustle is about a alternative model named Haley, who does a lot of modeling through Instagram, and then she joins a drug cartel made up of other Instagram models and other alternative models. And they use their cartel as a way to launder money.
Okay.
Or not the cartel to launder money, the modeling to launder money.
And, I imagine that's how Instagram models make their money in real life. Because, like, how do they afford such luxurious trips and fantastic photo lenses and filters and things like that? It's got to be drugs, right?
Well, no, it's through Instagram. It's from taking a whole bunch of pictures, brah.
Nah, it's got to be drugs. It's got to be drugs. It's got to be drugs. And I think Pat did this book. It's a autobiographical tale because Pat, I think, has the chops to be an Instagram model. You look great in that light, by the way. I'm just telling you that.
Thank you so much. yeah, you know what, though? The one thing that we keep going back to with this book is that people who are influencers online, right? Like they get these brand deals, and this is one kind of income that no one really knows how much people are making these days, you know, doing that. And we thought that this is a great way to launder money. You know, people can accept funds in this way because no one really expects how much an Instagram model who say has 2 million followers actually makes. No one really knows that number or understands how.
Yeah, like I don't even understand. Like I don't even understand how that works. Like how people equate like success to Instagram followers and Twitter stuff, and it's weird. There's always like some kind of weird, like analytic about it, but it hurts my brain. So I don't really know too much about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's partly brand deals. Like for instance, today my appearance on this podcast is brought to you by HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal service.
Where what? You get...
That was a great segue. That
was good. Like, damn, son, you making money for appearances on podcasts? That's hot to diff. We need to talk this podcast.
We need to talk to Pat Shannon. I've been doing he knows what's up.
8 years, I made a fucking nickel. Pat's appearing on podcasts and gets sponsorship deals. What the fuck?
And what's funny is, like, I'm saying this because I bought HelloFresh based on hearing a podcast supported, and it's actually really good. I just made a meal, so that's why I said that.
We're going to deal with you. Influenced by commercials and media itself. I was always big into that. I love that stuff.
Me too, man. You know what? If I can hear Jenna Marbles talking about how much she loves a meal deal, I'm going to give it a try.
Now, what meal did you get?
Well, today I made the rosemary balsamic steak. That shit was fire.
That sounds delicious.
It was so good. It was so good.
I'm jealous right now. I'm calling HelloFresh in the middle of the podcast.
Now, but there's so many of them, like HelloFresh and Blue Apron. Isn't there Blue Apron? Isn't that another one? And
it's true, but I mean, all right. Well, first, can I curse on this podcast?
Yes, obviously. Yes.
Man, fuck Blue Apron. You know, it's all about
I gotta edit that out now, because what if they want to come on board later? Well, see, you can't do that. You can't cut off my revenue streams, Pat. What the fuck?
If you tasted the shallot demi-glaze that I put over my steak tonight, you would agree with me, though.
What's up, Emerald? You fucking doing some shit over there, baby? So, like, I've always heard about these services. Explain them to me. How does it work? Like, how do you get meat in the mail? Like, I don't understand. How does it work? Like, how do they get it? Like, how does they keep that fresh?
Well, this is crazy. They pack it with this sort of liquidy, ice-like thing in a plastic bag. So it just keeps it fresh for that day. But the thing is, if you're going to be on vacation and coming back on a Wednesday, your box arrived Monday. If you eat that, you nasty. You know? All right. So just cancel your service for that 1 week. That's what I'm doing. I'm going away to San Diego next month. And thankfully, the meals that were on selection for that week are ass. So that's the week I'm going to skip. And then the next week, I'll be back on HelloFresh. You know, they should pay me at this point.
All right, so let me ask you. I just have so many questions about HelloFresh because I've always heard such wonderful things. I have a family of four. Do you think these meal sizes are enough to feed my family of four?
Well, you know what's crazy? They have meal plans where you can do it for two or, guess what, fucking four. Those are the options.
All right.
It's made for you.
What if you're lonely like me?
And they have meals
fuck
for
you,
one.
HelloFresh. I'm cutting off past revenge streams. Fuck have, you, HelloFresh.
They have meals for one. I believe it's called Sad Fresh. You just get one delivered to your house, and you just cook for you.
Lonely and unfresh.
Yeah, because what you could do, Kevin, though, you could make the meal for two and bring the second half that you can't have anyone eat because you're sad and lonely, bring it to lunch the next day for work.
No, I mean, I could do that, but I just buy a steak and throw it on the foreman, like one steak, so like, there it is.
You cook it with the foreman? Nice. Now, do you cook with the foreman, Pat? Now, how does that work with your demi-glaze?
I've got some gas stove action going.
You know? Word?
Yeah, but
everything he has is fancy.
Hide money, Pat.
this really has pushed me as a chef. You know, before I have my standard dishes that I make, and one day I was just riding home with my wife, and we're talking about this because all the podcasts that we rock with always talk about Blue Apron or HelloFresh. Yes. So I said, if we did one of these, which one appeals to you most? And she said HelloFresh. And ever since then, every meal except maybe one or two has been amazing. And the ones that weren't even that good, I kind of enjoy, you know, because I've always been a picky eater. But there's something about the idea that I'm making this new dish myself that makes me more apt to try it.
Okay.
And I've enjoyed things that I never thought I would before. And for example, like now my favorite side is fucking green beans, you know, and they're good. And I made that. And I, before, and this is not a joke because I'm not a vegetable eater, but before, if we went to the grocery store, like, all right, say Emily and I were doing a signing in San Diego and we had to run to the grocery store for some water.
And before you go on, that was good the way you drug Emily into your scenario. So she's not just feeling lonely sitting there drawing like, why am I doing this? I could be watching cartoons. I saw Emily. I saw you. Yeah, yeah, I got you.
How do you know I'm drawing right now?
Because I can see you. There is a camera.
You got a pencil in your hand.
You're either doing that or writing a love letter to your friend who's away. At World War One. He's fighting the front lines in World War One. He's in a foxhole and you're sending him a letter or something. That's all. I'm guessing you're drawing or you're doing that. I don't know.
So say Emily goes to the vegetable section and say she goes, all right, what is this? It's green beans. I wouldn't be able to answer before HelloFresh. I was totally uninitiated in the vegetable game.
Okay. You
know, but now, and it just feels like a healthier, hearty meal. You know, the portions are enough that you're actually full.
Okay. What you know about bok choy, son?
What's that?
I think it's like some Korean lettuce or some shit. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know what that is, but I did make this sesame salad, and that was maybe the worst thing at HelloFresh, but it was still all right.
All right.
So is it sesame dressing or is it like what makes it sesame salad?
You know what? It's hard for me to say because when you make a sauce with HelloFresh, and this sounds actually fucking sponsored, but it's
this is just where the conversation's taking us. And this is something I make podcasts, I listen to podcasts. Yeah. I've always been intrigued by this world.
Yeah.
I've never had the opportunity to discuss it with anyone at great length. So I figured why not use this
as right?
an opportunity to do it.
Let's go. Yeah. So when you make a sauce with HelloFresh, they just give you the individual ingredients, like even a ranch sauce. I'll make ranch sauce out of different ingredients, so I can't really say what went into it because it was just a bunch of different ingredients that I put together into the pan to make the sauce, and then I fried the stuff in the sauce.
All right. Yeah. That's very vague stuff and things. He mixed stuff
pretty much
and fried things. But it's
stuff and things in comics. It's like making comics.
But your next book, what you could do is like if you're going to do like a sequel to this title, Snap Flash Hustle, you can do a book about a dude who starts like a HelloFresh style food delivery service, but he just be delivering that yayo, son. And that's
that's good. That's
see,
good.
Right? I'm always there's your secret.
He can get a body part from HelloFresh, and somebody at HelloFresh is a murderer.
Yeah, body parts.
Because the thing will keep it cold.
Yeah,
true. For at least a day. For at least a day.
Yeah. So I mean, the possibilities are endless here. I mean, you could do all kinds of stuff. So congratulations to you. This is all research, really, for the next book. So, so
tell us more about Snap Flash Hustle.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna do. Yes, good call, Kevin.
Oh yeah,
I mean, comics. You're talking about. Oh yeah, comics.
Snap Flash Hustle is coming out next month. The core conceit. I mean, you know what? We did an interview recently, and I don't know if we said it, Emily, or if the interview themselves put it. Their headline was Breaking Bad meets Sex in the City or something, and that's kind of apt, you know. Like that's I mean, Sex in the City, I think, is a bit more broad in terms of comedy than what we're doing. Our idea is more like merging a realistic world, the alt model world, with the drug world. And what I did as a writer when I went into it that was different from other books was, you know, my process is generally to pair with an artist, and Emily and I did it in a very organic way where Emily designed the characters and then I added characteristics to them based on who I saw from her designs. But what I did that was different with this book is I kind of formulated a plan, a business plan. I made this money laundering / drug plan in my head work as a functioning business, so that when readers read it, they're not like, oh, this couldn't be a thing, because it literally could be a thing. You know, I made sure it actually works functionally before, you know, scripting.
Now, are you copping to some stuff live on the podcast? Like, are you saying like you run this comics thing and then you also have like your own money laundering ring? Like, is that how deep you got into it? Is this like some
this means you gotta follow Pat on Instagram.
Yeah.
<That's true. laughs> Follow me, you know.
Get them drugs from Pat on Instagram.
You can launder in them comics.
How did you and Emily hook up? Because I mean, Emily is she's hot to death. Like, everybody loves her. She's got one of the hottest books on the stands right now. Like, how are you able to do that? Like, and Emily, why are you slumming? What's going on? Like, I don't.
We met through social media. We met through Twitter. It all ties back together. I think Pat saw my art, or I saw his Twitter or something. We were following each other for a little bit, and then I talked to Pat on Twitter about possibly doing a book together. We ended up talking about ideas, and then we decided on Snap Flash Hustle, which was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I'm into that. I love it.
It's nice when stuff works out.
And we've always talked about that on this podcast. Like, the easiest way to meet artists is social media.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just, I mean, the world is your oyster. You can talk to whomever, any kind of style that you're into, it's out there. Like, so you might as well just hit them up. Because what's the worst they can say? I'll give Kevin his credit. He is by far the greatest networker in that aspect. Like, yeah, I'll ask that person. Like, dude, no, that way out of your, I'll ask him. And he just does. Like, he has no fear. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, whatever. Like I said to Bob when he says, like, he's like, did you see this guy's art? It's amazing. I'll go, okay, I'll just go ask. And he goes, you're just going to ask him? And I
got no fear.
Yeah. No fear. I mean, the worst I can say is no. And a no is okay.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And you know what? I posted on Twitter yesterday that the worst someone could say to you, whether it's an artist or a publisher, is no. And in this comics game, where you can be your own boss and you can bring your own shit to life, what does no mean? No means no for that specific person or that specific publisher. But to me, if someone says no to a book, that doesn't mean shit to me, because I'll just do it myself. You know?
Yeah, no, that's a great attitude to have. And like, we talked about that with Brian Level on this podcast, that there's no more gatekeepers to, I guess, an audience. If you want to do something, you can do something. And almost to the, what's the word I'm looking for here? Almost, I don't want to say to the detriment of the publisher, because I mean, we had people tell us that Metal Shark Bro wouldn't be a thing. Like, nah, I don't see how we can market that. And then, you know, a month later, we've made $26,000 on Kickstarter. So
all you have to do is drink some hot sauce on Facebook Live. Trust me.
Yeah.
I did that.
Did that happen?
Yes. Kevin drank a lot of hot sauce for
sauce for pledges.
The money from the Kickstarter actually went to pay for like a stomach transplant. So the book's
now I have a bionic gut. Yeah. I am the man with the bionic gut. So
that's amazing, because I to fund, I think it was Clonsters, I twerked on Kickstarter on our live, you know?
Really? That sounds lovely.
I actually got a $100 pledge. Oh, no. My twerking days are done, you know?
Okay. I'm above that now. I'm out the twerking game.
It's true.
Man, I thought it was so wholesome because whenever Pat has like a live Facebook video on Kickstarter for his like Kickstarter books, it's always like Amy's gonna sing songs or something like that. It's just like, okay, well, I guess I didn't see that side of
it. You missed now, the twerking.
If you would have saw Pat twerking, would you have agreed to work with him later on, or would you be more enticed by his rump shaking?
That's a great question.
Thank you. What I'm here for.
It
really is.
I don't know if I can answer that. That's
it depends on whether or not he's in that particular light, though. See, if he's in that light, I would say yes.
What if he's twerking while making food from Get Fresh or whatever it's called?
I mean, that would be
that's a good video. That's a good video.
I'm gonna shake my rump and make a salad.
That's some content.
Everyone watch. Now, it's interesting that you used Facebook videos for stuff like that, because Kevin and I were big advocates of that, because I feel like it's something that comic creators aren't doing. You've created this bullshit world of social media where you have quote-unquote friends. Why not turn it into a comic convention in your basement and just appeal to them? You know, make them your audience.
It's true. I feel like, and this is where I'm going to start hating, about... About 90% of comics creators will just go on Twitter to echo the opinions of other comics creators to seem cool, you know?
I do that all the time.
So I think the key to standing out is to not give a fuck about what anyone thinks, you know? So, like, people probably think that I'm corny, that I don't talk about certain things, but I think it's corny that almost everyone else talks about the same thing constantly. And... yeah, I'm not interested in that conversation, in just talking about the same type of shit over and over and over and over again. I want to talk about what's interesting to me. I want to connect to people in an actual genuine way, you know? I don't care if people just like what I say and just move on. I want to have actual connections where I know someone, you know?
Damn, Pat, you gangster. Yeah. You gangster as fuck. You ain't fucking around, Jack. You serious as shit.
He got the serious microphone. Like he gets the home delivered meals. Yeah. He got the Twitter that's on point.
He's like, I don't fuck with y'all. You're like the Tupac of comics. Now, what is something on Twitter that people just kind of echo chamber that you'd be like, no, fuck that. I don't want to talk about that. Like, give me an example. Like, you're very adamant about it. So I want to hear, like, drive it home, bro.
The passion is there. The passion is there.
Give like, you're like, fuck you, Kevin Cuff, and your Follow Fridays. I ain't doing that shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean that's legit, though. Like I've been told that before by you, Bob Fresh.
Yes, I have, because I just wake up and I have 7,000 notifications.
All right. There are a few instances that, you know what? I'll read a book that everyone's talking about, that everyone's is raving about. And I'll read it and I'll think, not only do I not think that most of these people like this book, there's no way anyone likes this book, you know?
Just fucking straight fire, son. Straight fire.
Yeah. I just like, I don't like disingenuous interactions just to make connections, you know? Because I think that the connections that'll actually build your career and build you into a better creator are the genuine person-to-person connections. And also, what I don't like is, and this is kind of constant to me, I feel like comics creators feel the need to make constant pop culture jokes and always comment on what's trending. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, I mean, it, in the worst case, it reveals how out of touch some of these creators are.
Okay.
And yeah, cause like right now, and some for good reason, I think that this person is kind of going crazy right now, but I don't like going on Twitter and just seeing a bunch of Kanye West jokes from people who don't listen to rap music.
Okay.
Okay.
Like right. that doesn't seem genuine to me. Like it seems like you're just commenting on this person in pop culture whose music that you've always dismissed. And I think that seeing someone in a more fuller context
okay
is better. You know, I kind of don't like when comics creators who don't listen to hip hop or don't watch a certain kind of TV show talk about that, because everyone doesn't have to talk about everything. And I feel like there's this kind of push to have an opinion on everything, and it's okay to not. I don't have an opinion on a bunch of things. There are so many things, if you ask me, I will just say, I don't know. And not know... It, that's okay, you know. Not knowing is okay.
Don't you think it's an attempt to kind of cast as wide a net as possible to attract followers and to attract, I guess, attention. So then later on, they can turn that into possible money for a Kickstarter, or you know, money for book orders or something like that.
100%. And I think that the less genuine the interaction, the less successful that will be.
All right. Now, I'm going to say I feel like the Kanye West thing, I didn't really feel the need to comment on that. I don't want to laugh at someone's mental illness, because I do believe he's mentally ill. And yes. I don't think he's ever gotten over the passing of his mother, which is something that I think if you look at Kanye's career, and I don't want to, after his mother passed away, he kind of floated off into like this realm of kind of mental illness. And I think he's never truly ever really gotten over that, you know?
I 100% agree, and here's my opinion right now on this. And this
don't put it on Twitter though, because Pat ain't got time for that shit.
Well, you know what? this I would tweet about, because this is something I've actually thought about and do have an opinion on. I see people online using buzzwords like ableism, and then talking shit about Kanye West. It's like this guy has come out and said, "I'm bipolar. I'm suffering through this," but. At the same time, he isn't above critique. So what I'd say about Kanye West is I have loved his music in the past. I hope he gets help. I hope he takes the fucking hat off.
Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of the stuff he's doing now, but like Late Registration's hot.
Absolutely.
Like, you can't deny that's a great record.
Absolutely.
But anywho, Emily,
what are you drawing?
Yeah, how's it going over there, Emily?
What are you drawing? We want to see what you're drawing.
What's you drawing, Emily? Let's talk about hip hop more.
do you enjoy hip hop, Emily? Are you a hip hop fan?
I do. Yeah. Not a lot of hip hop, but I like a lot of I guess the word for it is like alternative hip hop.
Okay.
Like, have you guys ever heard of Anna Teo before?
I've never heard of Anna Teo.
I've never heard of her.
No.
She is amazing. I mean, I can't really describe it without playing it, so you guys will just have to trust me.
I'll have to go. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, like Anna Teo.
Can you recite some bars?
Yeah, yeah. Drop some bars, Emily.
Raps in Spanish, so I don't even know what she's saying. I can't even. There's
that's
no
cool.
way
to remember
it. I'm into that. The last thing that I was listening to, someone recommended on Twitter. A good friend of mine recommended Logic, because it's kind of like that old school boom bap shit. Because I was complaining about like how a lot of they just don't make hip hop beats like they used to. And then a friend of mine was like, "You should check out Logic," and I did, and it was pretty good. I gotta say, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So, but that makes me sound old, because he's probably been around for a really long time. And it's
No. He's he's not like new, but he's a young guy, you know.
Yeah, he looks young. He looks like a cooler Snow. Do you guys remember Snow, the Informer guy? That's what he. No,
the guy that you look like.
The guy that I look like. He looks like me. Logic looks like me, circa like 1995. So that's why it's just an odd connection. All right, so you guys are just blowing it up. This book comes out in November. Yes. And how was working for Black Mask? I know both of you are kind of Black Mask alum. Like, it's wonderful over there, no?
Yeah, it's great. It's a really nice, everyone that works for Black Mask is kind of like within a community with each other, I'd say. Because, I don't know, we give each other... We read each other's books. We give each other peer. What's it called? You know what I'm talking about, Pat, right? Like
peer review.
Yeah, peer review, but like
critiques.
No, support? like giving support, the first issue out to.
Yes.
Yeah, that okay.
peer comping. You're comping.
Yes, that's the word for it. Yeah, like a lot of different people like. Whenever Lonnie and Zach had a book coming out, they would show it around and stuff like that. It's really nice to just see everyone and support each other.
It does have like a very, it has a very much like looking on the, like the outside looking in, it's very much like a go team go kind of thing. Like it's definitely, it appears that way, that it's just like all for one, one for all. We're going in the right direction. We're trying to make comics better. And that's got to be a wonderful thing to be a part of, because this is what, your second book for both of you for Black Mask, yes?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I believe that today marks the release of Emily's final issue of The Wilds, right?
And everybody loved that shit.
That was yesterday, but yeah.
Oh yeah, today's
Thursday.
time goes by, you know.
You gotta check. You better check your Just Fresh stuff. Make sure it's still good, because you don't want bad fish. You wanna end up like the movie Airplane. But yeah, so you guys got your thing going. You're just kind of rocking and rolling, and it's working out well. Now, Pat, you also have a Kickstarter that you're running right now, yes?
Yeah, I actually just launched it today.
Congratulations. Nice.
While on the podcast, we crossed the 3,000 threshold. Right now, we're at 99 backers. We're just missing one to make it an even 100.
I got you, dog.
Wow, hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
It's going to hook it up. Now you've used Kickstarter in the past, and you use Kickstarter quite successfully. What are some of your kind of theories or ideas regarding the crowdfunding platform?
This is something we're very interested in. So.
That was a great question, by the way. I'm just going to pat myself on the back right there.
I was just trying to like give you like the extra little pat, you know?
You know what? I've learned so much of what not to do from watching people do things. You know? and this is crazy, because this is one platform where I support. I want everyone to succeed. You know, I love seeing creators take control of their own destiny and watching them just make beautiful things happen. But I've also seen campaigns where I want to chime in and be like, what you just did, just less that, you know, don't do that. But I feel like it isn't my place. So I do want to one day perhaps make a book of what not to do. What I saw recently was this one campaign was nearing completion, and it was a hard fought campaign. And toward the end, the creator just started talking about all their other books. It's like, no. On social media, yes, but on the updates, no, just talk about the book that you're trying to get people invested. So they had that focus there, you know?
Yeah.
What I think too is, the best thing that you could do is communication, you know, because there are so many campaigns that are late and communicate and no one cares.
Yeah.
But the campaigns that are late and fall off
and they just disappear. Like,
what?
Yeah.
So I think the best thing that you could do to get a campaign funded is to, one, have a good product, two, be super clear in all the description of the rewards of what the book itself is. Just be clear and concise, and also just always communicate. People are going to have questions. Answer the question the day it's asked.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree. Like I found Kickstarter, what was helpful for us was when every day, every morning, I would hop on to Kickstarter. There's a cat attacking a light in the back of your fucking, and it freaked me out for a second. Holy shit. I just saw this. Do you see it back there? It's crawling. Yes. The light.
Oh, he's coming. He's coming.
God, holy shit. I only saw something shadowy moving towards you. I was going to scream. He's like, Pat, look out. Call the cops.
That's Hoyt.
I thought you were in trouble. Wow. That was all. Holy shit.
His name is Hoyt.
You posted a picture of him yesterday, I think, where he has like his tongue out, just like a little.
Yes.
That is a lovely and very frightening cat. I did.
He scared the shit out of Bobby. Your eyes were like super big. It was amazing.
I got a little freaked out.
I'm very hard to jump scare. So I was like, I saw the cat and I was like, oh, it's a cat. And then Bobby's like, what the fuck is that?
It's not what I expected to see come into frame. I don't know. Like,
it's October. Pat's a witch. Jesus.
What he does is when he believes that it's dinner time, he'll start to just fuck with things. He'll knock things over. He'll like bump his head against the light. He'll like rip things open. He's like, it's time.
Okay, so that's what you're telling us now is your cat wants to eat.
Yeah, he does, but it's not time. You know, it's not the correct time. You know? Okay.
Yeah. What he time smelled that HelloFresh, and he was like, that shit smells delicious, son. Like, yeah. I need some of this cat, the cat version of this shit right here.
Look at him.
It's just the realness.
That's a big-ass cat, too. Oh, my God. It's like a fucking possum. There's another one back there.
How many cats do you have?
You have five cats? Wow. That's really
Have you guys ever seen his Twitter? This is all he talks about.
I mean, I have, but I mean, I haven't like studied it, Emily.
I didn't follow Pat before like 15 minutes ago. I don't
okay.
Honest. And it's not because like I hadn't heard of stuff he's done before. I've heard of stuff on Kickstarter.
Can't follow
like,
everybody.
I've never read it. Yeah, I've never read it. I've never met the guy. So I'm like, like Pat says, I'm pretty genuine. So I'm like, I don't know him. So I don't want to be like weird and be like, hey, like your Twitter was suggested to me because you have great cat photos. Because I've been, you
know? Well, I mean, what I would say is that I would love to see more cats online. You know, I would love to see more comics creators talking about their life. More cats, yes, more cats.
That's all I talk about is like
more family.
Being a single dad. It's like a single dad stories. Like
that's what I want. You know, I want genuine life, genuine connections. I want less. This is my opinion on this, and more. This is who I am. You know.
Mm-hmm. I just tweet about Star Trek a lot because I want Star Trek. Like that's
and I tease you. I call you a nerd on Twitter. That's what we do.
Yeah, like
and people think I'm serious sometimes. Like, why you be hating on him? I'm like, I'm not really. Like, that's my dude. I'm gonna fuck with him. That's what.
I have a friend like that. Pat knows Kelly. Kelly Brock. Every time he fucking talks to me on Twitter, he's just like, I hate Emily. It's like, dude, they don't know you're joking.
Yeah, especially not on Twitter. Like, Twitter's like, someone could say that and be like legit, and I'll be like, oh, what did I do to you?
Yeah, how could anyone hate you? You're so nice and talented.
It's so funny. It was like yesterday, the last issue of The Wilds came out, and he was posting about it. He's like, Emily and I have a love hate relationship. It's like, don't say that. People are gonna think you're being serious.
That's terrible.
I mean, it is true. The only reason that I know he's joking is because he does it so much. It's the only reason I know.
See, but at some point, though, you have to wonder if it is a love hate and just hate. Like, he'd just be fucking hate because you're so great and talented and working on the hottest books in the world today with some of the best creators ever. So that's you know, so at some point, he's going to be like, dude, I'm drawing books for Joe Shit the Ragman over here. My life is awful. Like, why can't I be getting him hot Emily gigs? This is bullshit. bullshit. So tell me about the order code. When, how can I get this book if I want to scoop this up at my local comic shop? What do I need to do?
I don't think I have the order code on me,
but... I'm looking it up right now.
Okay.
What you do is you go into your local comic shop,
uh-huh,
and you say Snap Flash Hustle,
give me that shit.
I wants it.
Give me that shit.
I need it. No,
you got to have it.
And then you pre-order issue 2 as well.
Yeah,
exactly. Dude, yeah.
Get them all, exactly. Baby. Get them all.
That's nice, Emily. That was a nice segue. You know, that was beautiful.
I know, I'm proud.
See, Emily's not saying much, but what she's saying, she's bringing it to the table. That's what I respect.
I mean, she's drawing at the same time, so.
She is. Like, yeah, that's what artists do. Artists draw. Like, that's all they do all day.
I mean, that's why they're dope, though. Like, like sometimes I'll go, I'm not writing shit today. Like, that's just today. Like, it's not happening. Like, no matter what I do, it's not gonna happen. Today's not gonna be that day. So I'll have to try again tomorrow. And I hate when that happens, because it happens to me more often than I would like. And as someone who writes, it's like, if I'm not feeling it, like, I can get like a couple sentences out, but then I just know. Like, I don't know if you and Pat have that problem. Maybe you don't. Maybe I'm the only one that's that issue. But there's some days where I'm just like, it's not going to happen.
I had a day like that Tuesday where I just couldn't concentrate. Like, right. I just couldn't concentrate. I turned everything off and basically sat in a dark room with my laptop and just pounded away. Because I was like a fucking kid on too much sugar. My brain was just firing all over the place.
Well, do you do this? Because since I also run Kickstarters and I hire artists and stuff, when I find it difficult to write, I'll switch to the business side of things, and I'll do stuff like maintain my Kickstarter campaigns. I'll do stuff like pack a million rewards for Kickstarter. And it's crazy that now, in the past, when I was doing work like that, just like the mundane work, I would just yearn to write. But now, when I'm writing for my job, I kind of go to that as solace, you know?
Yeah.
I
go to read. What I do is, Bobby and I have talked about this too, I'll go read something I think is really dope. Like, I just read, I went to the comic shop and bought Witchfinder, because I love Mignola. So I was like, there's no way that there's not going to be something that makes me want to write something, and not even like this, because like it's not something that I would write, but this is going to be dope, so I'm going to love it, and then I'll be like amped about comics again, like, oh shit, I got to write something cool because that Witchfinder was dope. So right. Like that, I do that, and when people suggest stuff like The Wilds or one of your books, Pat, or somebody else's book, I'll go check it out and buy it, and then I'll be like, sometimes I get super amped over that stuff, and I'll call him right away. I'll call Bobby and be like, hey man, have you read this? Like, that's what he was talking about in the last podcast. I think I bugged him forever about We Can Never Go Home.
Good book.
So I was like, I love this book. It's so good. You got to read this. So. It's one of those things where that you have to find inspiration where it comes.
It's very true. I have a question for Bob.
Yes.
Oh no.
Have you done voiceover work?
No, I was in commercial radio for like 10 years.
That voice is wild, man. You could do some crazy voiceover work.
I don't know. It comes and goes. Thank you. I actually did. I did a few voiceovers. I did a national spot for Sunglass Hut back in like 2002. It was the easiest $700 I've ever made.
Hey, nice.
It was pretty fun. And then I got another gig after that for like a community college up in like fucking Long Island or whatever. And halfway through, I didn't have to audition for it. Halfway through it, I lost the ability to read. And the director of the spot just kicked me out of the room and told me never to come back. It was really fun. Like, it was awesome. Like, he was like, you're awful at this. And I couldn't even see him because it was all over like video conferencing. So it was on my headphones. And I could just hear him like hating me. Like,
that's amazing.
I could hear the sound of his voice. Like, I fucking hate you. And then that was the end of my voiceover career. But thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Can you say in a world?
No, I can't because I'm on the spot now.
I'll do it for him.
Kevin's a good voiceover dude.
In a world.
That's good. Hey, that was good.
Yeah, that was good.
So I shocked him. So he didn't know I could do that.
That was real good.
In a world. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on.
Thank you
so much.
This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I got to meet Pat at Cincy Comic Expo, the Cincinnati Comic Expo. Really fun dude. We got to chit chat for a while, so it was nice to kind of get you on the pod. I'm glad things are going well for you. You're doing very well. And Emily is just, I mean, Christ, you're like 22 years old and you've got all these fucking amazing books. You're like a prodigy. It's amazing. So much success to you continually, hopefully, and just great job, guys. Wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, dude. The book is called Snap Flash Hustle. It'll be out next month. It's through Black Mask. Go to your comic shop, order that book, get it. And where can we find you guys on social media where Pat won't be talking about anything that's hot? He'll just be talking about some real shit.
It's true.
Break it down, Pat. Where can we find you on Twitters?
I'm at Pat Shand everywhere. And but I will say, if you're gonna pick one of us to follow Emily. Her art is crazy. Her online.
Good.
When you see the art in Snap Flash Hustle, it's gonna blow your mind. Did we send you guys the issue?
Yeah, Kevin, you sent it to Kevin. I didn't get it.
Okay, gotta get you that issue.
I read it. It was awesome.
And I mean, I loved Emily when you were posting all the stuff from The Wilds, like the faces with the flowers in it and shit. That was so
it was great.
Yeah, it was just so fucking trippy. It was wonderful. So yeah, man, you guys, hopefully you have a big winner on your hands. We're rooting for you. And thank you for coming on the podcast.
And before you go, what's your Kickstarter, Pat? Plug it.
Oh wait, no. Before we do that, Emily, what is your social?
Oh,
yeah, very good, Pat. Very good.
Why do you want her social security number, Pat? What are you going to fucking, what do you need?
He's got an Instagram drug ring to run.
That's fuck.
Why do you need a social for that? I'm at Emishly Art, EmishLy on Twitter and Instagram. And I actually post a lot of Snap Flash Hustle panels. So if you want to maybe take a sneak peek at the comic book, that's probably a good place to find it.
All right, Pat, and go ahead real quick. What is your Kickstarter about? Tell us, where can we find all that stuff too, buddy?
The Kickstarter is Spooky Girls. It is four spooky artists drawing four spooky comics in one book. It's a graphic novel, full color. It includes the stories Tarantula Twins, Vicky Slime, Jenny the Werecat, and Punk Teen Demon Queen. I'm writing all four. Just search Spooky Girls Kickstarter on Google, or just go to Kickstarter. It's going to be one of the most recent comics projects there, and we are just about halfway funded now. It's our first day.
So Damn, son.
Yeah, let's make it a banger.
Hasn't it been up for like 4 or 5 hours?
That's what happens when you reel.
The thing is, when you run a Kickstarter and you run multiple Kickstarters and you run them effectively and you run them well, people will come back. That's the whole point.
True. Spooky Girls is like the best name, by the way.
That's it is. So it's really good. Thanks.
It is a really good name.
It's so good. I'm surprised it was available, is what I'm saying.
Me too.
It's so obvious and so well. So that's great. Well, thank you guys again. We really appreciate it. And come back anytime.
Thank you.
Yeah, please absolutely.
Do. How about next week?
All right. If we can't find a guest, you're good. Pat Shan, Emily Pierce. Pat was fucking keeping it real, son. Like, he was just hot fire, son. Hot fire. He's just telling you like it is. Like, fuck that dude. Fuck them dudes. It's like, all right, cool. Like, I thought he was going to do a diss track on this. Start naming names.
He's good. Like, fuck you, Machine Gun Kelly. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Spit it all out. But yeah, man, their book looks fun. It's out through Black Mask. It is.
What is Snap Hustle Flash?
Snap Hustle Flash. So yeah, so go to your shop and order that, and you can check out Pat's Kickstarter, which is live right now. It's called Spooky Girls. And that's it, man. I really don't have much else after that.
I don't have anything else, because I mean, I was going to say that Snap Hustle Flash is just like my for real Instagram, because I'm luxurious like that.
It's true. It's true. All right, so we will talk to you guys next week. I don't know who we're having on. We'll figure something out, but thank you for listening.
We're having Adam Ferris and Danny Lohr on for the Good Fight.
Okay. I was unaware of that. So cool. So we'll be having those.
I mean, it was in the email. Obviously, you didn't read the email.
I didn't get it. I don't know.
There's a reason why I'm Ed McMahon and you're Johnny Carson. See, I got to take care of the emails.
There you go. So we'll talk to those dudes next week. And yeah, man. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.